Good morning. My name is Ed Hollihan, and this is The View from Here. I saw a headline last week that got my attention. It went something like this. Scientists say they have the first empirical evidence of gravitons that would connect quantum mechanics and general relativity. Well, who knew? I like the word gravitons. Before I read that quantum mechanics and relativity were headed for a June wedding, I would have guessed a different meaning for the word. Mary, who was as uninformed as I, opined that gravitons were probably tiny little spaceships from a faraway galaxy piloted by flea-sized cosmonauts in orange jumpsuits. A graviton would travel in a giant pack of the tiny spaceships, called an orbitration. The gravity generated by each rapidly spinning graviton would hold the whole pack together. The orbitration would navigate by swarm intelligence, much like swallows and honeybees do. Tens of thousands of gravitons would change direction instantaneously, simultaneously comprehending the same sensory input, like an approaching asteroid. Now, I'm a little more earthbound than Mary. My take on gravitons went directly to food. Gravitons, I explained, were like croutons, the little toasted bread cubes that you put on your Caesar salad. Now, they're the same size and shape as your standard crouton, but they are a great deal heavier. The average graviton would weigh a pound and a half. You would, of course, have to be careful with just how many gravitons went into your Caesar salad. Use too many of them, and it would be difficult to transport your finished salad from the prep counter to the dinner table. If you happen to be watching West Wing reruns and eating from TV trays, you might want to rethink your approach that night. You'd also want to exercise caution in your choice of greens. 5 pounds of gravitons on 5 ounces of romaine might prove unwieldy. No one likes smushed lettuce, except, of course, raccoons who'll eat anything. So there's a problem. I can't think of a tougher lettuce than romaine. Needless to say, extra care will be needed in the kitchen. If you should drop a graviton, you could break a toe. All of this speculation about what a graviton might be completely ignores the first real graviton, which appeared in the Minneapolis Lakers training room in 1953. World-renowned Dr. Adler, who invented the first TV remote control, came up with the idea. He said, if you took a basketball player and put him in a chamber that increased his specific gravity exponentially, he would, when you let him out of there, feel many, many, many pounds lighter. He would fly around the court, running circles around his twice-as-heavy opponents. The experiment ended quickly when the New York Knicks used the same technology before the championship game in Madison Square Garden against the Lakers. The graviton-treated players on each side were so much faster than the non-treated players that the game resembled a Tom and Jerry cartoon. It was clear early on that neither referee could follow the play. That game is where the term fast break came into being. A gravitoned player would appear at the other end of the court in less than a second after the ref blew his whistle inbounding the ball. This led to 27 consecutive easy layups. The league stepped in, as it had to, at the end of the first quarter and halted the contest. At that point, the score was 102-97, and there were still 3/4 of the game left. Each side was sent to their locker room and told to remain motionless for 48 minutes. The league had spoken with Dr. Adler, and he told them that the graviton effect would wear off in 45 minutes. After the delay, both teams returned to the court, and the game finished in normal fashion. Back to two-handed set shots, no dunks. Nobody dunked then. The Lakers won 119-111. It was the fourth of 5 Minneapolis Lakers championships. The Lakers moved west somewhere and were never heard from again. So there you have it. Gravitons in the news and gravitons imagined. Personally, I like the little spaceships.